title says, the theme says, a celebration of God's deliverance. A psalm, a song for the dedication of the temple of David. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. Sing to the Lord, you saints of his. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. O Lord, when you favored me, you made my mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What gain is there in my destruction, in my going down into the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. The word of the Lord. So, Father, thank you once again for who you are, and thank you for your word. And Lord, as we open your word, I pray that you would speak to us, Holy Spirit. Lord, that the words that we are singing, the words that we are reading, the words that we are hearing, may they be words of spirit and life that transform us, Lord. That draw us closer to yourself. Lord, that makes us even more being impressed by the wonder of your great love. Thank you, Jesus, Lamb who was slain for us on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. When was the last time that you really had to laugh? And then I mean real laughter, you know, one that you couldn't stop. Can you recall that moment? When was the last time that you had fun? And then I mean real fun. That you were, you know, filled with joy and a sense of happiness. What was that moment, you know? And how did you express that inner joy? You know, were you jumping like those folks? One of the last times that I was really, having this joyful time was about 2 weeks ago when Margot, my wife, had her farewell reception at her work because of her new job. And she isn't here now. She is attending a vineyard conference in Northern Ireland. She's having a great time. It's just amazing. But, you know, 2 weeks ago, she had this farewell reception, and I bought her a nice bouquet of flowers. And I surprised her by coming to the farewell reception by bringing our children along, which was a great surprise to her. And, and I was so happy for her, and still am, and so proud of her. And this whole day was just a great celebration, and we were all filled with joy and happiness. Today, I close off the series on going deeper with God. And it's a series about the practice of the spiritual disciplines, activities that will all help us to go deeper with God. And if you were with us over those last couple of months, the first three messages, they kind of served as a foundation on, you know, what the spiritual disciplines actually are and why you should practice them. And in the last three messages, they were a bit more practical. And I share about three basic practices that you can start with. And they are prayer, meditation on God's word, and today I close off with the practice of celebration. Party, celebration. And celebration is at the heart of the practice of all the spiritual disciplines. Because without joy and without celebration, you know, all that we do as Christians, the way how we live our Christian lives, you know, becomes a dead and dry thing to do. Joy creates energy. Joy makes you strong. It's the medicine for life. Richard Foster, he wrote an excellent book on the spiritual disciplines, and he explains why celebration is a spiritual discipline. And he says, the choice to focus your attention to the higher things in life is a matter of the will. And therefore, the practice of celebration is a spiritual discipline. Now, celebration is the result of a conscious choice, a conscious way of life. I began to read from Psalm 30, a psalm of David. And this song is a song of thanksgiving. It's a powerful testimony of what God has done in the life of David. God has delivered David from the threat of death, as we've read. He healed him from his sickness, and it was a serious sickness. We don't know what it was, but it was serious. Something serious going on in his life, but God healed him. And in this song, David celebrates what God has done, and he's expressed his gratefulness and joy. And how does he express his gratefulness and joy? Well, by worship and dancing. But there's even more. David, he cannot keep this joy for himself. No. He calls the people, he calls the saints to praise God with him in the temple, the dwelling place of God in the Old Testament. You know, to quote Dallas Willard, he says that celebration is the completion of worship. Because celebration dwells on the greatness of God as shown in his goodness to us. Celebration as the completion of worship. You know, joy is to be shared. Come on and praise this God with me, says David. You know, and what better place to share your joy and to testify of God's goodness than in the community of the saints, the church, like we are. And you know, if there's one place to celebrate God's goodness and to worship him, then it should be the church. Don't you think so? No, that's what church is about. And so, you know, what we're doing today, what we're doing right now, right here, is we are practicing the spiritual discipline of celebration. That's what we're doing. And that's what we're doing when we meet during the week. And that's what we're doing next Sunday. Practicing the spiritual discipline of celebration. And you know, when you don't see the relevance of going to church, begin to see it as the practice of a spiritual discipline. Be actively present. Participate in celebrating God's goodness and greatness shown to you, shown to one another. Now, what I would like to do in the upcoming, 15 minutes, is to look at various passages from the Bible to give a little bit more context why celebration is so important, and above all, why joyful celebration is at the heart of what God has in mind for your life. Now, this is what God has in mind for your life, joy. Now, it's not going to be in-depth Bible study, but, you know, the passages that we will touch on will give a clear hint about the centrality of joy in the spiritual life of God's people, of you and of me. And I would like to begin with reading from a passage of the Old Testament, a passage from Deuteronomy. And it's, you know, big part of Deuteronomy is the will of God, the law of God revealed to Moses, and, you know, because of that, to all the people. This is what the will of the Lord is, the law of God for the life of his people in the Old Testament. And we're going to read a wonderful passage from Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22. And in the PowerPoint, I selected the most important part of that. I'll read a little bit more. It says, and so, this is what the Lord says to his people. Be sure to set aside a tenth of all that your fields produce each year. Eat the tithe of your grain, new wine and olive oil, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks in the presence of the Lord your God at the place you will choose as a dwelling for his name, so that you may learn to revere the Lord your God always. You know, and God is quite practical, but then because he continues to say, but if that place is too distant and you've been blessed by the Lord your God and cannot carry your tithe, well, then exchange your tithe for silver and use the silver to buy whatever you like. Cattle, sheep, wine, or other fermented drink, or anything you wish. And then you and your household shall eat there in the presence of the Lord your God and rejoice. You know, this is a very interesting passage. And I'm really excited about it. I've never read it before. Well, maybe I've read it before, but I've never realized what I read before. You know, again, this is the instruction of God to his people. And what were they to do? What were they instructed? They were instructed to feast upon God's provision. Each year, after a season of hard work and labor, the people were told by the Lord to bring a tithe, 10% of their produce, of their income, and bring it as a feast offering before the Lord. Now, which was quite a lot, quite an abundance. But what they had to do, they had to share the food, the stuff, with the Levites, who were completely dependent on the provision of the people. So most part would go to the Levites, but then the rest, which was still an overflow of food, would be for them to eat in the presence of God. And if they couldn't bring their tithes because it was way too far to bring it, well, they should sell it, and from the money, buy food and drinks. And by the way, did you notice that it wasn't a high tea? They were to buy fermented drinks. They were to buy strong alcoholic drinks. Interesting. Now, and they were to eat in the presence of the Lord and rejoice. Now, okay, God's not saying that they all should become drunk, but they for sure were to enjoy strong alcoholic drinks. You know, and the purpose of this feast meal was to learn to rever the Lord your God always, to go deeper with God in trusting in his provision and care for their everyday lives. That was the whole purpose of this meal. You know, a tenth of the income, like an average income for a Dutch family is about, what is it, 33,000 euros a year. So, for a household. So, that would mean that, you know, if this would still count for today, I would have to bring, let's say, a little bit more than 3,000 euros, you know, and just put it here and throw a party. Well, you can throw quite a party from 3,000 euros. But isn't this a great instruction? And what does it say about God? Well, a lot. But you know, God wants us, God wants you to celebrate life. And he wants you to trust in his care, his provision, and to feast upon his provision and upon his care. And at that time, through such a simple thing as organizing a feast meal, you know, a moment to relax from all the hard work, and to celebrate God's goodness and greatness shown to them, and to share their joy with others. Now, I will come back to this at the end of the message. I will continue. I will go to the New Testament now. I will go to the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount of Jesus. You could say the law of God for in the New Testament for us. And I will read part of the Beatitudes where Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." And at the very end, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Again, a very interesting passage. How can you rejoice and be glad if you face suffering? If you face weakness. St. Augustine, I came across this quote. He said, "A Christian should be an alleluia from head to foot." You should be an alleluia from head to foot. In other words, joy should be one of the constant characteristics of every disciple of Jesus Christ. But isn't that a little bit too naive to say? You know? Probably we're all familiar with those so-called hallelujah Christians with whom all things are all right all the time. Hallelujah. But you know, that's not what St. Augustine meant. And that is what Jesus is talking about here? No. You know, our joy and our celebration is not naive. And it's certainly not disconnected from the harsh realities of life. Instead, it's the other way around. Your joy, our joy, you know, our celebration of today is deeply familiar with suffering, with grief, with pain. Again, to quote Dallas Willard, he says, "A healthy faith before God cannot be built and maintained without heartfelt celebration of his greatness and goodness to us in the midst of suffering and terror." Now, I came to Christ in the years 2000-2001. And one of the main triggers for me to look for the God in whom Christians believed was a sense of joy and peace and happiness that I saw in the eyes of thousands of people at a Christian conference to which I was invited to by a friend of mine. That was really impressive what I saw. But didn't they have any sorrows? Oh, for sure. For sure they had to deal with their own weakness, their own challenges, their own brokenness. But in the midst of that, they seemed to have this constant joy in their lives. Just saw it in their eyes. I've never seen it anywhere else. You know, joy is the result of the abundant life that you receive in Jesus Christ. And that's what I was exactly looking for at that time. The Apostle Paul, he says in Philippians 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again." Obviously, it doesn't come natural to us. "I will say it again. Rejoice." He wasn't naive. Paul writes this letter while he himself was in prison because he followed Jesus Christ. And he writes this to a community of believers who were facing persecution because they followed Jesus Christ. But, as we've read this week in our daily devotional, in Nehemiah 8, joy is our strength. Joy is your strength. As it was the strength for Paul, as it was the strength for the community in Philippi. But what to do with the challenges that you face in your everyday life? Well, in the same passage, Paul continues and he says, "The Lord is near. God is with you, even in the midst of your weakness, your brokenness, your ruined life. God is with you. Do not be anxious about anything, but," says Paul, "in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests before God." In other words, bring your stuff before God in prayer. That's what you have to do with the challenges that you face in life. And what will be the result of that? Well, says Paul, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ." Now, this is the fruit of prayer, that you bring yourself before the Lord and bring before him all your anxiety, that God would fill you with a glorious and inexpressible joy, a peace that transcends everything. Now, one little story about the strength that joy produces and the healing power of joy in the midst of suffering. It's a personal story. As Margot and I went through a really tough time some years ago in relationship to the health of our daughter, one of our daughters, you know, we were quite a wreck. Emotionally, spiritually, relationally, mentally, physically, we were completely devastated. And at the time, the Vineyard Benelux, you know, our tribe here, organized a conference called Healing on the Streets. And we had to go to this conference. And, you know, actually, we weren't really in the mood for it. We weren't really in the mood for it. But we went. And all this talk about God's power, about miracles, about healing, it was great. But it was also quite confusing for us concerning all that had happened with our daughter. And at a certain point, after one of the main services, people were invited to go through a tunnel of blessing. And what is a tunnel of blessing? Well, very simple. It's just a row of people standing across one another and who would lay hands on you as you would go through this row. Get the idea, right? So we just hop from one to the other. And Rachel and I, we went through this tunnel of blessing. And what happened was so weird and yet so beautiful. And we both had a completely different experience, but both received a deep inner healing from the Lord. And I will just speak for myself, but what happened with me is that somehow I ended up at the end of the row in such a delirious joy, I couldn't stop laughing. And really, it felt as if I was drunk. I couldn't walk. I could only lie down. I was laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing. My muscles began to hurt, but I couldn't stop laughing. That was really weird and really crazy. And I've never experienced it in such a way again. But you know, that brings me to my next point, which is that joy is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Or to put it maybe different, joy is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit releases and grows His joy deep in your inner being. And just read with me, well, if that's possible. I will just throw out a couple of Bible verses. Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, etc. Romans 14. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Romans 15. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, to see that Paul was not wrong, or how do you say that? Narrowly focused. Peter, the same thing. Though you have not seen Him, Jesus Christ, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. It's pretty obvious, isn't it? The Holy Spirit releases this deep inner joy within you because that's what a relationship with Jesus brings to your life. And because that's what the kingdom of God is all about. And so I do not hesitate to call that weird experience I just shared with you a Holy Spirit experience. And neither should you be surprised that when the Holy Spirit fills you, or when the Holy Spirit touches you, you know, wherever you are, maybe tomorrow behind your desk, or maybe today here at the service, but that you will experience a deep inner joy and have the tendency to begin to laugh. And let it happen. Let it happen. Because obviously the Holy Spirit is at work within you. Okay, tomorrow behind your desk, that might be a little bit weird. But here, it's totally fine. You know, it's totally fine. No problem. But apart from these specific visitations of the Holy Spirit, you know, His fruit is everlasting. He builds it in your character. And this constant presence of joy within you, no, it's the result of the Holy Spirit at work within your life. And then this joy where Peter writes about, you know, becomes this day-to-day experience and reality. Now, one more passage that I would like to address, in which all that I've just said culminates, comes together. Joy is rooted in what we will read in a second. And it's the announcement of Jesus Christ about His ministry. An announcement about the year of Jubilee. Read with me in Luke chapter 4, the release of God's favor. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. What God has done to David, back in Psalm 30, is what God has done with you and with me in His Son, Jesus Christ. And now you, get to sing this song of deliverance. Now you get to sing this song of healing. You get to sing this song of forgiveness and of restoration. Because this is what Jesus Christ came to bring about. to call you, to call us into this permanent year of God's favor. And the year of the Lord's favor goes back to the year of Jubilee, that again God instructed the Israelites back in Leviticus chapter 25. And the year of Jubilee was a year that they were to keep every 50 years. And the year of Jubilee was a year in which all debts were to be cancelled, where people were to return to their properties, where slaves were released, where the poor were redeemed. It was the year of total freedom. Now, the interesting thing is that it probably never happened that the Israelites kept this year of Jubilee. But where the people failed to have this year of Jubilee is what Jesus Christ came to bring. He made it happen. He inaugurated this year of Jubilee permanently, and by which you and I can become part of through faith in Jesus Christ. As soon as you put your trust in Jesus Christ, you are in this permanent year of Jubilee, of God's favor. Just recently, someone sent me a text late in the evening, and he said, "Hey Maurits, I don't believe in anything, but I would like to be able to. Do people come to Vineyard to learn to believe? Is that even possible?" I've met this person, and he shared how he has reached the top of his career. And he is young, 32. And really, it's impressive. But you know, he is left alone with this feeling of emptiness and loss of joy. And each time that he received promotion, he thought like, "This is it. Now I'm going to be happy." But didn't bring what he was looking for. And now he had begun to look in what I think and what we think and what we know is the right direction to look for satisfaction and purpose and joy in life. And this guy, please pray for him, you know, the upcoming week. He's very close to enter into the year of Jubilee and be released in the new and everlasting life which Jesus Christ came to bring and for which he died for on the cross. Now, to finish off, how exactly are you to practice the spiritual discipline of joyful celebration? Now, from the different passages that I've read with you, let me just give you a few suggestions, okay? Just a few suggestions. From Psalm 30, worship and dance. Simply. Again, David, he calls his people to sing with him in the greatness of the Lord. And again, if there's one place where you can express your inner joy, it should be the church. And this, you know, as we worship together as a community, dance, shout, sing. You know, church never was intended to be boring or static. Never. For there's reason to celebrate. And again, if you find church boring, well, do something about it and express what's going on in your heart. Show the joy that you have in the Lord. And you're absolutely free to express your emotions and testify of God's greatness and goodness shown to you. And okay, we have introverts, we have extroverts, we have the Dutch. You know, maybe you're not the most expressive type of person, and dancing and shouting, it's a bridge too far from you. But you know, we can all smile, right? Smile. Smile. The point is, express your inner joy as an act of worship. Joy is to be shared. Dance and worship. And then from Deuteronomy, eat and drink. Eat and drink. Why don't you organize every now and then a dinner for your family or for your friends maybe, just to celebrate God's goodness, His provision and care for your everyday life. And eat and drink and relax together in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is near. He's with you. No, you don't have to turn it into a big evangelistic event or so. No. Have a meal. Invite your friends. Just say, you know, come. Because I'm happy. But you know, wouldn't this be a cool thing to do? And meanwhile, you're practicing as you eat and drink the spiritual discipline of celebration. Even the Lord's Supper is a feast meal. We are allowed to feast upon the cross of Jesus Christ. So maybe next time in your home group, you can take the Lord's Supper as a feast meal before the Lord. So worship and dance. We get to practice that in a moment, by the way. Eat and drink. And then the last one. Celebrate life. You know, I believe that Christians, that we should be the most experienced people to party a lot. To party a lot. Unfortunately, we are usually have this reputation that we are very sober, very serious, you know. But we should be the most experienced people to party a lot. Why? Well, if the poor receive the gospel, and if the imprisoned and enslaved are set free, and the blind are healed, and the oppressed released, shouldn't that all that lead to the celebration of new life in God's kingdom? And as Jesus Christ, with the same liberating power, has come into your life, shouldn't your whole life be an alleluia from head to foot? A testimony of what God has done and what God is doing in your life. And so, you know, again, throw out parties. It's beautiful weather. Why don't you organize a barbecue for your neighborhood? Why? Well, simply because you want to. Because you love the God's given life. We have a vibrant city here in Groningen. Why don't you take a friend to a concert? Why? Well, simply because you are set free to do so. You're free to live. And to let others share in the blessing of God. You know, why don't you pay someone's bill in a restaurant anonymously? Why? Well, because you have become part of this permanent year of jubilee, of God's favor, one of utter redemption, of return, of release, of total freedom. And simply because you want to share God's favor and the joy that you've received yourself. Worship and dance. Eat and drink. Celebrate life. Celebrate God's goodness. Amen.